Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Ah. Hi there. We just had a lot of fun. I was talking to a great group here from Ohio and many other places too, but in Philadelphia, and I was talking about Pashunk in Philadelphia and the Italian market. And I used to go there when I was a kid. And the Italian market is like no other. They don't even have them in Italy like that. You got, I was telling them, you got bacalà here. You don't know what bacalà is? It's dried codfish. I mean, the stuff is about that big and that wide. And you can smell it a block down. But what used to fascinate me is they would have the bacalà here, and then it'd have chickens hanging there, and ham, and prosciutto, and they're all full of flies. And nobody cared. You know, a woman would go up and say, I want that one. And it was all full of flies. You'd think it was full of pepper or something. All of a sudden, you'd go reach it, all the flies would go around. You know what amazed me? Nobody got sick eating that stuff. Now they're so hygienic, everybody's sick. And so, then you go right next to the bacalà was a place where they sold dresses. And if you got a bargain, there were dresses piled up like this. See? And in one place I saw he had dry, or it wasn't dry, smoked chicken here, dresses here, shoes here, and bacalà there. It's a fascinating place, and if you go on a tour, go to Philadelphia Italian Market. You'll get bargains. The wonderful thing is, the flies are still there. Anyway, a couple people have written and said, Mother, would you answer my letter on the air? Because I cannot receive an answer by mail. So I don't want you to think everybody that writes, I read your letter on the air. You know, I'd be here till doomsday. Now, this woman wants to know, her mother is very elderly. And she's been taking care of her mother for a long time. Her husband has agreed to that, and her brothers and sisters are yelling and screaming about it because they want her to be put in a home. And the woman says here, you know, Mother, she said, I want to take care of my mother. See, I will not let anyone dissuade me. Am I wrong? If you're giving your mother tender, loving care, and maybe there's some things you can't do, But you know, the touch of one you love is felt and understood by those that are sick. I'm not against nursing homes or convalescent homes. But since the Lord has laid it on your heart to take care of your mother, every time you touch her, every time you bathe her, every time you kiss her on the forehead, every time you do anything that you say you do in this letter, you do it to Jesus. If there's one commandment you will excel in the kingdom, it is the one that says, honor thy father and thy mother. Maybe you're putting a guilt trip on your brothers and sisters. Maybe they need a guilt trip. Go ahead, don't worry about them. You do what your situation, the amount of care you want to give your mother. She was not going to last too long. She knows where she is. And doctors will say, you know, even those in a coma, their hearing is the last to leave. And people have told me that the doctor pronounced them dead, and they could hear everything around. They weren't dead at all. So I want to tell you, go ahead, take care of your mother. Give her a smooch for me. Here's another sad letter, and I think you probably, this woman works for NIH, that's the National Institute of Health, and now they want to start proposed embryo research. Basically, it says it's okay to view embryos as strict material for scientific research. In the test tube, they will produce babies, embryos, and after 4 weeks, they will dispose of them. Well, my friend, she said, would you tell your audience? Yeah, I will. You see, Paul the Sixth said way back when he came out with Romani Vitae, he said, once you approve of birth control, then you will approve of abortion, and then you will approve euthanasia, and all of that has been done, and now you will approve of embryo, and people will sell these to doctors to experiment with, and then they will dispose of them. Well, we're really asking the Lord for a lot of trouble. If you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, well, this world is much greater and worse than that. And so I ask you to voice your opinions to your senators and your congressmen and say, look, we don't want scientists to experiment on embryos. We don't want that. And another article here, they want to insert the embryo into animals to see what happens. You see how far we've gone? Do you understand how far we have gone? Well, my friends, I'd get close to Jesus if I were you, because one day he will say, enough is enough. We've ever had so much for you. Our sisters this morning asked me about a little passage here in St. John's epistle. It's the first epistle of St. John, second chapter. And he says, you know, we all want to be sure of everything. Do you ever want to be sure of something? Yeah? I want to be sure. I want to be sure. I want to be sure. Well, St. John says we can be sure that we are in God. Only, I like these little words, don't you? They really get to you. If and only, you got to watch them. Looks like you're getting a lot, and all of a sudden it says if, or but, or and. This one says only. When one claims to be living in Him, is living the same kind of life as Jesus lived. How you like that? Huh? Mm. See, we can only know that. See? If you want to look, it's the first epistle of John, not the gospel. And it's the second chapter where we can be sure. Sure. Now, if we look around here a little bit, we find something else. It says here that we can also be sure that we are pleasing to the God to God when we do His will. You know, our dear Lord was so, what can you say? He was so steeped into the will of the Father. Okay? That nothing else mattered to Him. That's the beauty of doing God's will. See? And you say, how come so many prostitutes and so many of these people seem to flock to our Lord? Why was He so patient with these people and so hard on the Pharisees? Because they were repentant. They knew they had problems. They asked forgiveness. See? And the Pharisees, they didn't need forgiveness. They tithed. They gave to the poor. They fasted. They were perfect. And to the Lord, He said, you don't let anyone else go in the gate because you're not going in the gate. He said, you're like your father, who was a liar from the beginning. Well, disobedience is a lie. See, you got to understand that whenever we're disobedient, we buy a lie. You see? St. John says here in another place, if you say that you do not commit sin, you call God a liar. Did you know that? You call God a liar. We say, how do you do that? Well, if God says thou shalt not on anything, thou shalt not commit adultery. And you say, yeah, I will. Then you're saying to God, you lie. There's nothing wrong with adultery. That's what it is with abortion. You shall not kill in the mother's womb. And you say, that's a lie. I have a choice. It's my body. That's a lie. Thou shalt not steal. And you say, well, why not? They have it and I want it. I need it. Well, still not yours. So you call God a liar. See, it's going all through the world today. Somebody says the Eucharist is not the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. It's a symbol. You call Jesus a liar. Because you're saying that what He said in the sixth chapter of John is a lie. When the Lord gave us confession to lift this awesome burden, oh, some of you carry such a burden. Oh, you shouldn't carry that. You shouldn't carry that kind of burden. Jesus has such compassion for us. that he gives us chance after chance to go to him, to say, I am a sinner, Lord, and I'm sorry. That's all. What does it take? When you say there is no need for confession or there is no sin, then you call God a liar. See? If you say God has no right to tell me what to do, oh, boy, you're treading on real soft ground. Why? Well, he does have a right. He created you. You know, we have fun at lessons sometime because we were talking this morning about before time began. You can't even think of it, can you, huh? Well, since there's nothing you can imagine as good as it is, you can get pretty wild, see? So we can just imagine God alone. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How long? Who knows? And maybe Jesus said, now don't say, where is it? It isn't. I'm just making this up, okay? Maybe the Lord said to the Father, why don't we create something? And the Father would say, okay, what do we create? Well, we create beings just like us, spiritual. Ah, wonderful. With great intelligences. Yeah. And we'll make all kinds. We'll make seraphim and cherubim and thrones and dominions and powers and virtues and principalities and archangels and angels. She said, oh, wow, that's going to be fun. Let's start. So they make one beautiful angel, one after another, and each one is different, like a species all by themselves with great high intelligence and absolutely phenomenal beauty. Oof. Out of nothing. See, he just willed it. Bingo, there it was. Well, would you believe it? One of them looked at himself and thought, oh, how beautiful I am. I am the most beautiful of all of these angels. And then he thought, I shall be like unto God. Oh, how sad. So he went and convinced one third of all these magnificent creatures. And the Father had a revelation for them just to test them. And he said, one day the eternal word shall become man. He said, man? That animal? Well, not quite. He is made to our image. And his mother shall be your queen. Whew. No way. Are you nuts? No way. I am the greatest. Oh. So then came a battle. And St. Michael said, who is like unto God? Which meant God can do as he pleases. Well, my friends, we're back day one. We haven't learned anything. We're back to day one. We're still saying, I am the greatest, and I shall be my own God. I saw one. I bet she was 800 pounds. And she was the goddess of something. I don't know what it was. I forgot to look when she was the goddess. It said goddess of something. See, we have our own goddesses now, and we adore and love creatures like trees and rocks and crystal. And we haven't learned a thing. So what does it mean, obedience? See? Lucifer and all his angels would not obey. They would not obey. They were their own people, forgetting that everything they had came from the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. See, we can forget, can't we, huh? We can forget very easily. We are creatures, and we have a sovereign Lord. And I owe that sovereign Lord total obedience. Huh? He created me out of nothing. You know, I was telling the sisters today how my mother met my father. I shiver when I think one element might have been missing. I wouldn't be here. For example, my mother was washing dishes, and she had a magnificent operatic voice. So she was waxing strong while she was washing dishes, something I would never do while I wash dishes is sing about it. Anyway, she was singing. It was summer, the doors were open, the windows were open, and my father passed by. And he stopped and listened. And he walked up the steps. And he said, "May I ask who is singing?" And my mother said, "I am." And 6 months later, they were married. 2 years later, I came along. Do you realize that because of a song, I almost didn't make it? Kind of sends the shivers up my spine. If she'd have just been washing dishes, he'd have walked by. Isn't that true? Here I am only because my mother sang the right song at the right time and my dad passed by. You know what that is to me? Maybe you think it's kind of foolish. But if you want to look for God in your life, I say thank you, Lord, that those two things came together at that time. Or my chances were gone forever. Wow. You're all in the same boat. Right? However you came to be, there you are. And for that moment, you came close not to be. But you see, it had to be because God had it in his mind. Before even the angels were created, he knew you and loved you and decided in this time, in this history, in this part of history, you would be in the city you are, doing what you're doing right now. That's how much he knows you and loved you. Are you telling me now that you should not obey such a being? Oh, I think you're wrong if you say no. See, because it's unbelievable. You know, in the 17th chapter of John, I want to read you something. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. Now, it says here, may they all be one. Oh, you want to know where it is? John 17, 21st verse. May they all be one, Father, may they be one in us, as you are in me and I am in you. A lot of people say, Mother, how do you know how much God loves you? Then I know you don't read the scripture, so you give yourself away. I had a scripture class years ago, and three women came in, and I would say Ezekiel where I would say John or whatever, and I'd say the 6th chapter of John, 12th verse, and they were in Genesis. We're way over here. And I thought I'd try something else, you know, and I tried the book of Daniel, and they were in a gospel here, see. And I looked at the three, they had never been to that class before, and I said, would you happen to be Catholic? She said, yes. I said, oh. Page 85. See, sometimes we don't read the scriptures enough, and that's why we don't know how much God loves us. I'm going to tell you tonight. To me, is this the most exciting book ever written? It says here, may they be so one in us. That's Jesus talking about to the Father. He's speaking to the eternal Father, that the world will realize it was you who sent me. Does the world realize, does your neighbor, does your family know that Jesus was sent by the Father by the way you live? Huh? Do you have telltale signs of Christianity? It isn't the way you part your hair, sweetheart. It's how you live. It's how you live. See, we're supposed to prove that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Now, let me give you a little more good news. And that I love them as much as you love me, Father. Oh, did you hear what I said? Huh? I'm going to make you so happy you're going to fly on your own all the way home. Because if you're in an apartment somewhere, or you're in a hospital bed listening to me tonight, or you just lost a loved one and you feel lonely, or you got so many problems and you can't share them with anybody because you know they won't understand, then the foggy idea of what it means to have such a tragedy in your family, whatever it is, it may be that you just can't pay the gas bill. Well, what Jesus has just said to you and to me personally, as if no one else existed, he loves me as much as the Father loves him. Boggles your mind. Can you imagine that? You say, well, I'm too sinful. Well, that's not his fault. That's your fault. You know, I read a sticker in the back of a car, and it said, if you feel dry and you feel God, if you feel alone and desperate, guess who moved? It wasn't God. It's you. Guess who moved? Well, let me go on. I want to make you as happy and miserable tonight as I possibly can. You know I love you, so you don't care what I say. The only people that care what I say are the liberals, and I don't care what they think. Now, here's something else that's good news. I want those you have given me to be where I am. Jesus wants you where he is. Oh, so that they may always see my glory, and that I would give them the glory you have given me. Oh. You see, if you've never read the scriptures, you ought to start with the Gospel of St. John and the epistles of St. John. Because there you will know how much he loves you. Only then can we be obedient to his will. Do you do the will of someone who hates you? Do you do the will of someone who doesn't care at all for you, tries to make you as miserable as possible? If you do, it's only out of fear. And that's not love at all. But see, here is a God who has given all to you, created you, and then gave you all these wondrous sacraments in church in order for you to overcome, to look forward to that wondrous kingdom we call heaven. You know, this reminds me, especially confession, this reminds me one time when I walked away from the studio here, the broadcast station got mad because they were going to air this movie. That's how we got into all this, because I lost my temper. I did. And I told the man I wouldn't air my programs on there, and I wouldn't produce there anymore because he was going to air this scandalous and blasphemous movie. Well, in the meantime, while we were building the studio, I had to go somewhere else and finish a series. And they promised me an audience. But they're all kids. Like second grade, first grade, third grade. I didn't know what to say. I had never talked to children that young before. I said, oh, Jesus, please give me something to say, you know? So I looked at them, and none of them really wanted to be there any more than I did. And so I talked to them about obedience. And I said, you know, you have to be obedient to your parents and your teachers. And they all looked like, eh. And I said, I tell you what, I'll tell you why you have to be obedient. I said, you all see an elephant? Yeah. Do you know how big an elephant is? Yeah. I said, well, let's pretend now there's this giant elephant, and he's gone through the jungles. All these kids are looking up like that. They're looking at this imitation elephant. And I said, and he's roaring, powerful, and all the other animals are running. And I said, all of a sudden, he stops. And I said, did you ever see the foot of an elephant? He said, no. I said, well, it's that big. And there's big grooves in it. And I said, all of a sudden, he's standing there, and here comes an ant. I said, you ever see an ant? Oh, yeah. That's pretty small, huh? Yeah, that big. I said, he jumps on that foot, and he bites it. And the elephant goes, rah! And he falls over. And there's a little kid in front of him, and he went, ha! He got hysterical, just hysterical. So I looked at him, and I said, why do you laugh? Because the little ant made the big elephant fall. You got the point. He said, I did? I said, yeah. You see, the elephant is Satan and the world. Tries to make you disobedient. And the little ant is you. And you're strong. You're a strong little ant. But you got the grace of God in you. And you can make the elephant fall. Because you just bit him by saying, no, I'm going to obey. I said, did you know what the Lord said one day? He said that when one sinner converts, all of heaven rejoices. They all laugh, and they're all happy. Why? Because this little insignificant ant overcame a greater animal. And when you're obedient, you overcome a greater intelligence. Well, they were so happy, and I was so relieved. A week or two later, a woman called me from Atlanta, and she said to me, Mother, I had a 10-year-old girl there, and I have never asked her to carry out the garbage, do the dishes, that she hadn't said no. She said, I brought her there to be chaperone for the little ones. And she said she came home and she said, I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't know I could make the devil so mad by saying yes and growing in the likeness of the Lord. I'd be glad to take the garbage out. You see, that's a little thing. But every time we overcome, every time we're obedient to the Lord, to those over us, every time we do that, we have confounded the greatest intelligence, the enemy. We have made all of heaven rejoice. And it can be obedience to God, to the church, to your relatives, your friends, the kind of obedience that comes from a knowing and loving heart. That's what I wanted to tell you tonight. The world is telling you not to obey. You're your own person. Change everything rather than be obedient. That's not the way. One day that elephant will crush you. Then there will be nothing but misery. So let's determine tonight, we shall call God Father, and Jesus is Son of God, Savior, and the Spirit is love. And because we were created by love, to love, we shall be obedient. We have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio.
Could you speak a little louder?
I'm from Ohio, and my name is...
Oh, you're one of our Ohioans here.
Yes.
And how can I help you?
I want to ask a question that's been bothering me. As a Catholic, what is the appropriate way to discuss or speak about abortions to believers and unbelievers who accept abortions?
Well, I think, number one, you do it with love and not condemnation. Number two, you must be faithful to the truth. See, truth will always bring light with it. And you have to tell them that this is a life at conception. You can read that in St. Luke's Gospel. Jesus was like unto us in all things except sin. And in St. Luke's Gospel, right after the Annunciation, and Our Lady said, be it done to me at thy word, that at that moment was the conception of Jesus. The incarnate Word lived among us. And what did she do? She ran to Elizabeth. For what reason? So that Jesus in her may sanctify John in Elizabeth. You see? When you say, no, I will not serve. This is my body. No, it's a whole different person in you. It's in your body, but it's not your body. Mm-mm. You have to tell them that. You see, they won't believe you, but that's okay. They won't believe you when you say it. See, when we do things like that, we are disobedient to the laws of God. You know, it's not our Holy Father's law or will. It's the law of God that He must proclaim. And you and I as Catholics and Christians must proclaim the law of God, not the law of this theologian or this liberal nun or anything. They are not God. People in Germany thought Hitler was the leader, and he turned out not to be the leader. It happened in Russia. It happens everywhere where man tries to raise himself above God. You can't. And what the bad thing is, they drag other people with them, you know. Nobody goes to heaven alone, and nobody goes to hell alone. And we have terrible, awesome responsibilities. So I would tell them that that's when life begins. These scientists want to experiment on a 4-week fetus. Why would they want to experiment on something dead? Or something that wasn't human? They wouldn't do that, would they? So I would do it. Now they may ridicule you, but the Lord promised that. He said, blessed are you when men persecute you for my name's sake. In St. Luke's gospel, he adds a little thing I thought's kind of cute. He said, dance for joy. Try it. Maybe you could do a little short dance when they begin to get smart aleck. And say, woo woo. And they say, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm dancing for joy. See, don't allow anything, any human being, to dissuade you from the obedience to the law of God. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
I'm calling from upstate New York.
And what is your question?
Well, this probably seems like such a trivial question after the question that was just asked.
That's okay.
And I appreciate the answer. But I always enjoy you quoting from your Bible on Tuesday nights, and I just wanted to know which Bible that you're quoting from.
Well, I love this Bible, but I wouldn't buy it now. This is a 1966 version of the New Jerusalem Bible. The new one, it's inclusive language. And that's a lie, you see. This is great, but I bought all the 1966 Bibles I can find, including England, which were about 10 Bibles. This is my Bible, it's 1966 edition. If you can find one, buy it. Now, we have a wonderful Bible that we put together and had reprinted. I'd be glad to send you one. It's called the Ignatius Bible. It's really the Revised Standard Bible. I would recommend that because it's been told to me and I read it. It's one of the most beautiful translations I think that ever was. We have another call. Hello?
Hi, good evening, Mother.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm from Hayward, California.
And what is your question?
I have a question on abortion. I'm 41 years of age now. When I was 18, I went to our Catholic priest at our parish, and I told him that I was pregnant. The priest looked at me and told me that the Catholic Church disowned me, that I was no good, that I was going to hell in a handbasket. And I was frightened. I didn't know what to do at the time. 3.5 weeks later, I got an abortion. After this priest told me I'm going to hell and that the Catholic Church disowned me, I know I left the church for over 10.5 years, and I've been back for 15 years.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I want to know, how do I approach this priest who's now a Monsignor and tell him he was wrong, that I'm not going to hell, that God forgave me because I didn't know what I was doing?
I really have to apologize to you for that priest. He either had very little good theology, or perhaps he's a little Jansenistic. The church loves her children, no matter how they are, no matter how sinful they are. Holy Mother Church is a mother, and she always has the remedy for you. And the remedy was confession. Let me tell you what he should have said. He should have said, "Sweetheart, I'm sorry. What you did was wrong. And you know that. Come to confession now. Let's make this straight with God. Come back. Have this child. I'll help you all I can. And if you don't want it, I'll see that it's adopted. Keep it." That's what he should have said. I think our dear Lord was grieved over what he told you. And I can see why you left the church. I would never have advised you to leave the church. My mother left the church because the professor was ignorant. She went to confession after years after divorcing my father, and it was an Italian missionary. And he said to her, "Did you not know that was a mortal sin?" And she said, "Yes, I did." And he told her that God was angry with her. That's what he told you. And he yelled and screamed at her like she was dirt under his feet. She never went to Mass again until I was healed. So I know what you suffer, and I'm sorry. But God has forgiven you. I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression that one act of disobedience, you've had it. You know better than that. That was true to the angels. You and I have chance after chance after chance after chance because of our weakness, because of the consequences of original sin, because of the terrible temptations around us. You're okay. Pray for that priest. I hope as a Monsignor he does a little better. But being a Monsignor doesn't change a hard heart and doesn't give knowledge or compassion. I would tell him so that if anyone else comes to him, he wouldn't do that terrible thing. Go ahead. And the next time you go to communion, give Jesus my love. I'll do the same for you. And be at peace. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
And what is your question?
We lost a little granddaughter about a year ago. She was 3.5 years old. When we found out that her heart had stopped on the operating table and they were using a hand massage to keep her alive, you have to excuse me, I'm a little nervous. I said to everyone there, it was in God's hands. The priest who was with us said, "No, it's in the doctor's hands." We do know that it was a mistake that was made by the physician that took her life. But I find it hard to believe that God did not have this in his plans, that he knew our granddaughter was coming to him that day to be with him in heaven.
You're right. I'm sorry to say this priest was wrong again. All things are in God's hands. He either ordains or permits. God permitted this to happen. Your granddaughter is for sure in heaven. You have a little saint up there, and I'd take advantage of it too. Once we begin to exclude anything in our life from the will of God, his permitting will or ordaining will, then where do you stand? Tell me that. And how are you going to accept it? See? Sure, the doctor made a mistake. We will admit that. But a hard step stops at the will of God. You see, it was not God's will that our Holy Father die when he was shot. But that bullet came that close to his aorta. And God guided that bullet. This was not time for him. Yeah, we all are victims of other people's mistakes and ignorance and everything else. That's what makes saints out of all of us. Injustice, unfairness, all the rest. Don't blame anyone. The child is enjoying what you one day will enjoy also. We must accept God's permitting will as well as his ordaining will. The sisters keep asking me, Mother, why is it you got asthma, you got 20 things wrong with you, you got braces, and you got to do all this work? I see the will of God in such a wonderful way. All the credit goes to him. I know from whence comes my strength. It's not me. And you know, and you were right. Give that child the joy of enjoying her being face to face with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wish you holiness of life. I wish you the joy that no one can ever take away. I wish you the knowledge of the love of Jesus and his Father and his Spirit. And I wish that you accomplish his will with the joy of a child, knowing that he is preparing a mansion for you in his kingdom. God bless you.